This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Jeff Balls will join us coming up during the Power Hour. And later this hour, we will give you the 21 figures in 21 to keep an eye on, right? 21 and 21. All that's coming up later this hour. But again, numbers 844-SAY-ACCN. Wes, while you were going through crazy IT issues there in beautiful Cartersville, we let off the show talking about the Canes last night in football. Tough loss. But man, you just can't spot good teams 21 right out of the gate. I mean,
no.
Miami's not that good. You can't go, hey, we're going to give you 21 and play catch up all night and lose our quarterback and De'Eriq King. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to De'Eriq. He's a great young kid and coming back for his sixth season of college football. Again, Miami fans should be excited about that. But that injury last night was a bummer. That was just one of those that makes your – it just, you go, oh, no, man, come on. It's a game like the Cheez-It Bowl, and, you know, you just don't want to lose a player of that magnitude, or any player for that matter, with any kind of injury, but one that's going to have such a huge impact of your future. That was really tough last night watching this.
Well, look, it doesn't look good, and it's not as much the hit, at least in the replays that I've watched closely, as it is the move before the hit. You just hope upon hope it's not as bad as it looked. Just had no good. I mean, just the whole setup just drains you to watch it happen. And then, you know, the kid wanted to walk off, and bless him for that. I mean, he's just such a great competitor and tremendous talent. Been a lot of fun to watch this year in the ACC, and we're excited about him coming back in 21. And then, bang, it just kind of crushed you. Now, Miami had issues prior to that pack, right? I mean, Miami was already fighting uphill when King got hurt because they spotted, as you said, the Cowboys 21 points. They missed some chances. They had some drops early in the ball game.
Oof.
But at the same time, it's one of those deals where you saw a little bit of fight, a little bit of a spark being created. And even in the second half, they were able to get it back and, you know, give Manny Diaz and his team some credit. That was something we did not see a year ago, much out of Miami. So that's certainly an area where they've grown, over the course of the year, but nonetheless, despite the King injury, it's a disappointing loss for Miami. And his potential disappointing loss, not only to close 20, but now creates, as we said earlier, maybe some more questions about what 21 is going to be about for the Hurricanes.
I saw a crazy stat, and I'll give all the credit to where I found it. Pick Six Previews, that does great stuff. They had a stat that since the 06 bowl season moving forward, 61 of 65 Power Five programs have won more bowl games than Miami. Now, let that marinate a second. Again, the Canes have lost 10 of 11 bowl games, right? 10 of 11. So 61 of the 65 Power 5 schools have won more bowl games than Miami. So, you know, there's work to be done here. Again, I'm not telling Miami fans something they don't know, or Manny Diaz for that matter. But I thought last night they had a chance, much like the North Carolina game. You got a chance to kind of get to that next level with your program. And, you know, you just kind of win these games, right? I mean, we keep talking about the narrative, right? Notre Dame's been a story this week with the narrative. Same thing with Miami. Hey, you want to change the narrative? You know, don't tell us about how great you were back in the 80s and what you did in the 90s. And, hey, the early part of this century, the greatest team ever. No doubt. That's all great teams. But it's now 2020 going to 2021. You got to start winning these kind of games if you're Miami and getting back. Is the U back? Well, the U's back when you don't have to ask the question. We're still asking the question, right? So tough loss last night. Just thought they'd come out of the gates with a little bit more fire. But you just, again, you can't spot good teams 21 points and say, hey, we're going to go into games. It's tough to do.
Yeah. You saw also last night a team that had kind of had some, and it's also important, I think, when you talk about the ACC teams in these games to understand the team they're playing, right? And last night you're playing a team that, quite frankly, Oklahoma State pack, right? Remember we said it yesterday, been riding high and then all of a sudden tripped over the top and spilled over. toward the end, lost to Oklahoma again, that kind of thing. Don't discount the fact that they got guys that wanted to be there too. I mean, Spencer Sanders threw for 300 last night. They got a guy in Presley who had caught, what, 9 balls all year long and goes crazy during the game, 3 yeah. touchdowns, that kind of deal. I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens in bowl games. And I think that's important to remember as we get ready to go through some of this is you're going to have these guys emerge who kind of played maybe a role here or a role there during the course of the year. Could happen today with Wake because of some of the situations they've got. You're going to have a role guy, and then all of a sudden he's going to have an opportunity to take a stage, and that happened last night for Oklahoma State with Presley for sure.
You know, and call me crazy. I know one of the hot debates on a radio show in the afternoon this week has been the opt-outs, right? We've seen a ton from North Carolina. Yeah. We've seen a ton from Florida. In particular, these are two teams playing in the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl, respectively. This is not a dogatemyhomework.com bowl. These are big-time bowl games. And like Eddie George was doing the show with me yesterday afternoon, and I said, Eddie, I'm going to put you now in your prime. I'm going to put you into today's college world. Would you have opted out? You know, I mean, you're getting ready to go play in a major bowl game. Would you have opted out? And, you know, he said, Pac, that's not my DNA. You know, those are my guys. We're all warriors. We're in the locker room. And he went old school, which didn't surprise me with his answer. But you could make a debate on the other side of, hey, you know what? Kid could get injured. And, you know, you watched the highlight of De'Aaron King last night, and you kind of understand where maybe some mindset is of, hey, a kid goes, hey, I've put in the work. My body of work speaks for itself. There's plenty of tape. If I'm not playing the college football playoff or I'm not playing in a major bowl game, you know what? I am going to pull a Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to pull a Leonard Fournette and say, hey, catch you guys later. No disrespect. I'm going to now take care of me. So it is a fascinating debate. But when I saw the King injury last night, it really was the first thing that popped in my head other than his well-being and safety and health, where all these kids that have a chance to go to the next level, you know, here's your snapshot. I think of a guy like Jalen Smith from Notre Dame a couple years ago. Yeah. It was a surefire top 5 NFL draft pick. He's playing in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State, blows out his knee and cost him, you know, who knows how many millions upon millions of dollars. And granted, to his credit, he's worked his tail off, still in the league and playing well. But this is the kind of the predicament we have right now as we get into all these bowl games before we get cranked up with the college football playoff.
Can we re-rack this video here real quick? I want to expand on something here. You were talking about what De'Aaron King means, you know, just in his decision-making process. I want you to watch in this little sequence of video. Now, some of this edited, obviously. Look at all the different people he's interacting with. Just look at the way he is being a leader with the football team, right? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that it's not coach speak. This is not just, you know, a kid talking about it. Look at the different people. That's Nestor Silvera sitting on the bench there. I mean, it's a defensive guy.
Yep.
I mean, he's interacting with all sorts of different people in the course of the process here. I mean, there's a backup lineman guy. I haven't played much. King stopping and talking to him. I mean, everybody wants to know how he's doing. He's willing to come back and interact, not feel sorry for himself the whole 9 yards. Pac, I think that says a lot about him. It says a lot about what he brings to the table for Miami.
And it tells you about their football team. And I think even though they lost last night, you know, you're down 21-0, it would have been easy. I mean, easy to say, hey, we're done. We're out of here. We're Clifford. We're going on walkabout, right? That would have been easy to do. but the fact that Miami fought back told me everything about, you know, what Manny's been trying to change that culture that, hey, guys, we're going to fight to the end here. And especially coming off that North Carolina game in which it looked like they had kind of tapped out and said, hey, we're out of here. Catch you later. To be down 21-0, it would have been easy to say, see you later, man. This thing's over. But that you didn't get that last night. So that, to me, that's encouraging. And I'll also say one other thing. And again, I am not a doctor, not playing one, don't want to be. I'm like, Mike Norvell could have been talking to me. I don't want to play the role of the doctor. But I was actually encouraged watching De'Aaron King hobble around on crutches afterwards. And again, I don't know how the severity of the injury. I hope to God he's going to be okay and be able to rock and roll in 21. But I was actually encouraged watching him interact in that second half. Because like you said, Wes, it would have been, again, easy stay in the locker room. Woe is me. I can't. How can something like this happen to me? I just announced that I'm coming back. We're down, you know, 21. We're down 14. We're down 7. Whatever the case may be. But the fact that he came back out and interacted and you saw the response, to me, is all positive. That's all good news.
It is that for sure on the medical side, but I was really impressed. And we just showed the video there, and I thought it was important to go back and re-rack it, because I think you have to understand how his connection works with that football team. And there's clearly been a connection with De'Eriq King and that football team, and his leadership is to be valued, and it counts. When they go snap it, Mark, I mean, that's not something you just kind of gloss over when you start to play Miami with King at quarterback, for sure.
Yep, 100%. And that's why his announcement coming back is so important to the Canes in 21. Again, no knock on Nikosi Perry, who I thought filled in admirably, given the fact that, hey, tag, you're it, and we're down, and, you know, you do the best you can with what you got. So if you're Miami, that's why I asked in the last hour for Canes fans, if you want to call in at 844, say ACCN, I'd be curious to kind of sense the vibe of Miami football at the end of this season. Remarkable that you played 11 games, 8-3, certainly better than you were a year ago. Some missed opportunities. You're going to start off with Alabama to start things off in 21. So kind of an interesting team to watch in the off season.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
As we close out 2020, thank goodness, and get cranked up for 21, we have decided to come up with 21 figures in the ACC to keep an eye on in 21. All right, so 21 in 21, and it will be across the board, multiple sports, individuals.
Multiple schools.
Everybody's covered. So, you know, this is going to be
no cool. Rankings.
No, there's
no rankings.
No, it's got nothing to do with rankings. This has got 21 people to keep an eye on in 21 in the ACC. All right. So with that said, Wes Durham, let's start with a little football. All right. We'll go with football since we're in the mood. And we're going to lead off with Sam Howell from North Carolina, because number one, it's going to be interesting to watch Sam at the Orange Bowl. Given all the offensive weapons that have been taken away from him, because that might be kind of a precursor of what you can expect in 21. But there is no doubt that this is one talented dude, and you're going to hear the word Heisman and Howell a bunch in 21.
Yep, no question. And the numbers reflect why you should hear Heisman and Howell in the same sentence. But the two-year body of work is really impressive. You know, we don't know what's going to happen on Saturday night in the Orange Bowl. Obviously, it's an uphill fight without a lot of his offensive weapons, proven offensive weapons around him. Even some of the backups are injured. DJ Jones, who probably would have been the number one running back, is listed as out. So, you know, it could be an interesting night for him offensively. But what it does not diminish is what he's done in 2 years and the reason he's on the list, Mark.
And he's got the full package. I mean, he can run. He can throw. He's now got experience. He's got a good offensive line. And like I said, Saturday against A&M will be intriguing in the sense that it's going to be kind of what, it's going to be kind of what you're going to see next year. You're going to have some new guys step up from a weapon standpoint, but make no mistake that the guy under center is a big-time talent, and he could play for anybody in the country. So Sam Howell in 21 leads off our list. Again, we're not ranking anybody here. I want to emphasize this. Are you guys at Sam Howell number one? No, we're just giving you names, all right? So this is
right.
We could lead off with any of the 21, but we got football in the brain, so we're going to start off with football. So there you go. Sam Howell's our the first right. guy profiled.
And speaking of guys who are going to assume bigger roles, no bigger role will be assumed than the one that DJ Uiagalelei is going to assume at Clemson, because in the small body of work we've already seen, he was 59 for 85, 781 yards, and 4 scores. I'd say that's a pretty good apprentice program, wouldn't you?
Well, there is no doubt that DJ is going to be the guy. Again, we're under the assumption that Trevor Lawrence wants to go play for Jacksonville. So that's why DJ is on this list. What he showed you against Notre Dame, and he was even banged up in that game. It's one of the reasons he didn't run the football as much, but man, he threw it all over the yard and was pretty impressive. But you know, the thing that's so great about that is no interceptions. Hey, what? Is that Clifford? Is Clifford, would you feed that thing, Wes? I mean, goodness gracious.
I'm feeding the cat.
Would you quit?
I got it all going on, man.
Would you quit hoarding all the oatmeal and all that other healthy junk you eat in the morning and give some to the cat? We're trying to get something. Hey, we're trying to get some work done here.
I'm hearing you. He's rolling the show. He's running the house this morning. I mean, what that's like.
I know you got a mountain lion running through there, but the biggest cat we're talking about is DJ down there in Tigertown. That's the big. He's the bigger of the two cats. But he is
going to be
a prominent role, not only at Clemson, not only in the ACC, but from a national perspective, that will be a huge story. And, of course, the Tigers open up with Georgia right here in Charlotte, which should be some kind of football game.
All right. So we talk about Sam Howell, who we've seen the last 2 years, DJ, who we saw this year. By the way, those numbers are just from his starts that we showed you a moment ago. How about a guy we haven't seen in a couple of years, but the last time we saw him, he was electric in college football. And now Tallahassee's the new address for Mackenzie Milton. Mackenzie Milton comes to the stage at a time where maybe they need him as much as he needs them, Pac.
Totally agree. Guy was fantastic for UCF. Mike Norvell, we know he's an offensive mastermind. He's got a guy with experience and a guy with something to prove, coming off an unbelievably gruesome injury. He's lucky to be playing football again. So you know he's got something to prove, and so does Florida State. So I think this is a no-brainer as far as one of the 21 to watch in 21. Mackenzie Milton and really Florida State football. As bumpy a ride as it was in 2020, you got to expect some bounce back from the Noles, yeah. But getting Mackenzie Milton back, same thing with the Canes, but getting Mackenzie Milton back in college football will be a great story.
All right. We're going to pivot here from quarterbacks to coaches while we talk about football. And the first guy we're going to start with, and you and I discussed this a lot before the season started, how steep the hill was going to be for Jeff Hafley, what the elements were going to be, no offseason, no real spring ball for him, putting a staff together, trying to get a team to build culture on Zoom calls during the pandemic. And at the end of the day, Jeff Hafley did all that and more in his first season at Chestnut Hill. And now all of a sudden, there is major expectation and major optimism about what this guy has done after 12 months on the job at BC.
Very impressive. And the fact that you got, Phil Dracovic back, he's got a year under his belt as the head guy. Hopefully we can have spring and summer practices. Again, knock on wood for everybody. What he accomplished in year one was really, really impressive. And, hey, the sky's the limit at BC. BC fans are excited about it, and they should be. Winning season and from the get-go, and granted, they're not playing in a bowl game. They've opted out from that perspective. But if you're not impressed with the job that Jeff Hafley did in year one, you're not paying attention. And I just think another year under his belt with a quarterback who can make plays, I like where BC's headed. I do. I think Jeff Hafley's a big-time coach.
Well, another coach to keep an eye on in 21 is Dino Babers, because after 10 wins a couple of years ago, the last two have not gone the way the Orange or Coach Babers wants them to go. But yet the baseline and all the foundations were put in place there, Pac, and they've had moments. Even in these last 2 years, they've had moments of success. They've got some good young talent, especially on defense. He went through a double coordinator change in this tough year, and I think they've learned some things. The question is, can they transfer the lessons learned through a full spring? You knock on wood for that. A full summer, and then come back to be the Syracuse we saw a couple of years ago, because really his calling card when he arrived was offense and tempo and speed and scoring and things like that. And that's been the last couple of years, the toughest part for the Orange.
And that's what makes it so confusing. We are both big Dino Babers fans on this show. And really the question becomes, can the O go back to the Orange? And it's hard to even ask that question. You'd never say that in a million years, man. Can Dino Babers figure out the offensive part? But I mean, the numbers don't lie. Just look at these right here. Points per game, last in the ACC. Yards per game, last in the ACC. Sacks allowed, last in the ACC. Third down percentage, moving the sticks, last in the ACC. That's got to improve. I mean, you just can't, you can't beat anybody when you're at the bottom of that barrel on in this day and age of college football where you've got to be able to score. You always think of offense with Dino Babers. So I think that's one of the reasons that Dino's on our list because, hey, I am expecting big things from Syracuse. This past year was ugly. Can't spin it. No problem. Hey, it's over, done, move on. But there are some pieces of this team that we saw despite going 1-10 that, hey, they played Clemson tough, right? I mean, they were in games in which you're going, hey, what's going on? At North, NC State playing good football late. You had the game. Syracuse had them on the ropes. I mean, they just couldn't quite get over the hump to win some games down the stretch. But I just expect their offense to bounce back in 21. That's the reason they're on the list.
Totally agree with you. And I think that if you're going to look to someone whose model you may want to follow, and it's a hard lesson, it's a hard thing to go through, but when you break out on the other side, it can be incredibly rewarding. They've got a bowl game against Kentucky coming up in Jacksonville, but you take a look at what NC State is packing and how NC State bounced back, and you think, boy, what a great job Dave Doran has done. He's done the long walk to make NC State relevant, Pack. They had the dip, but now you're talking about, what, for the last 5 years, NC State has been a factor in what ACC football has turned out to be.
I think NC State, this was a really critical year for NC State. Before the season started, I told you, I had NC State and Syracuse connected the hip. They were coming off kind of lousy 19s, needed a big bounce back. Cuse didn't get it. NC State did. So for the Wolfpack going into their game against Kentucky, coming up in the Gator Bowl, hey, you got a chance for a 9-win season. And you know what? The question in 21 is going to be, can you now take it to the next level? Now, I know people are going to bark about, oh, you didn't play Clemson, you didn't play Notre Dame. Hey, you played it was on the schedule, right? You lined up, mm-hmm. You played it was supposed to be on there. Liberty was on there. You beat those guys. So NC State, hey, tremendous year in 20, feeling good about life, great opportunity in the Gator Bowl. 21, can NC State and Dave Doran take it to the next level? To me, that's going to be something worth talking about as we get into the spring, into the summer.
All right. The last one we'll mention in this segment is a football coach as well, and his team played last night, and that's Manny Diaz at Miami. Bounced back from a tough season a year ago, a particularly poor ending for the Canes, and started off this year, and then maybe finished in a bit of a downward turn with two losses to Carolina and certainly last night to Oklahoma State. But I would say this, a couple places to polish, and Miami is right there if you can get De'Aaron King back healthy, Pack.
Miami will always be on a list, right? Good or bad. It seems like Miami football is always on that list. Are they going to be back? All that great stuff. Like I said earlier today, some missed opportunities late. That's a team that could have finished WW and gone 10-1. Totally different vibe heading into 21. Still improvement from 20. Can you get to that next level, Manny Diaz? Kind of like Dave Dorn a little bit. You know, you're 8-3. Hey, can you get to double digits? I mentioned earlier today, since Miami's joined the ACC, only 1 year have the Canes reached double digits in wins. And that was Mark Richt's guys back in 2017. Miami's heading in the right direction. Now, can they get to that next level? That will be the big question.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
21 to watch in 21. We continue the conversation and the list. Again, we are not ranking anybody. I just want to emphasize this because I know when I eventually turn this phone back on, there are going to be people jumping all over. How could you rank so-and-so? We're not ranking anybody. This is just 21 folks to keep an eye on in 21. And we just went through a football list, all right? So we're going to get to hoops now. That'd be part two. So go ahead, Les.
And a word to the social media team. We're not ranking anybody. Please don't list this as a rank. Please don't put the 21 to watch and 21 out there as a ranking for us.
That's it.
Please don't call it a power ranking. Please don't call it anything with the word ranking in it.
That's exactly right. So, with that said, we now attempt to go to basketball. And I watched them last night. And he's worth watching right now, and you better watch him in 21 because he is a dude. I know he had four. He picked up his fourth foul last night just inside 12 minutes, and it made a difference down the stretch. But this is a bad dude right here now. Scotty Barnes from Florida State, 6'9", handling the rock, making dishes, can play, doesn't mind the big lights, doesn't mind having the ball late. Leonard Hamilton's got himself a star right here.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does, and it's going to be this is timely because this is a guy who, quite frankly, we haven't seen anything quite like this. Remember when Leonard Hamilton told us that Scotty Barnes was going to handle the ball?
Right.
And, you know, we value Leonard Hamilton's basketball opinion, certainly. We're not stupid in that light.
Not that stupid.
I would offer you this. Scotty Barnes at 6'9", handling the rock, is pretty impressive because he handles it like he's about 6'3", 6'4", Pac.
And loves to dish it, too. It's not just a ball hog routine. No, no, no. He is looking for the next man. And if you've not seen him play yet, please do. You can thank us later. You can thank Leonard Hamilton for finding the guy because he can play.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, last night he picked up his fourth foul at about 12 minutes ago in a game, and it changed the direction because Clemson went on a great run and ended up winning the game by
sure
double
did.
Digits. But, hey, like I told you, Florida State, Duke this weekend. If you're in the mood, get that one all over you. I know we got football games on the brain too, but Duke, Florida State will be worthy of your time this weekend. But Scotty Barnes is a dude now. He can play.
Yep. Absolutely right. How about another guy who's going to be important to his team probably before the season is over and as they build into the 21 campaign? That's Sam Hauser at Virginia. The Marquette transfer started off hot, gave Virginia quite a lift. But like the Cavaliers, Hauser might be finding his way still a little bit as we work our way into basketball.
Well, he gives Tony Bennett a scoring option that the Hoos, quite frankly, needed. Now, ironically, it's been defense or the lack thereof, which has been kind of perplexing for the Hoos moving forward. Now, granted, they got Notre Dame. We'll see what happens here. They got the Hokies this weekend, which will be humongous. It always is in the Commonwealth. But Sam Hauser has been a great addition to Virginia basketball. And watching Virginia, who was the preseason favorite, go through the early struggles. And again, if you saw the Gonzaga game over the weekend, the Zags make everybody look goofy. I want to see how this team gets better defensively. Tony Bennett, great coach. Yep. Enough said. You don't have to go any further than that. But they do have some work to do on the defensive end. But Sam Hauser's been a really, really nice addition.
No question. The last of the men's basketball players we have on the 21 to watch in 21 is a guy who was leading the ACC in scoring and is one of the league's top rebounders. For a team that is trying to make that move. And that is Moses Wright of Georgia Tech. And we mentioned this earlier in the week. He's trying to become the first Yellow Jacket since Dennis Scott to lead the ACC in scoring. The important thing to remember is this is a full basketball journey. This is not a 4 or 5-star kid out of Enloe High School in Raleigh. This is a young guy who had an acumen for tennis maybe more than basketball, did play basketball at Enloe and in the capital city. But he has come to Georgia Tech, and with Josh Pastner and associate head coach Eric Rebido, he has really developed into quite an athlete. And ironically, I think the tennis background kind of helps him a little bit. He is he can really run the floor, catch, rebound, score, night in, night out. Can Moses Wright be that guy? That's why he's one of the 21 to watch.
You know, he didn't jump out at me until I watched their game against Kentucky. And Kentucky had no answer for him. Kentucky won no piece of him. Moses yep. Wright put a hurting on him. Of course, Kentucky is 0-4 in the ACC. Everybody's been putting a hurt on him. But Moses Wright can play now. And the Jackets are an interesting mix. Now, granted, they get North Carolina coming up. Keep an eye on that game as well. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Moses Wright's a name that you need to remember as we turn the calendar here and get into 21.
Jackets and Tar Heels tonight in Atlanta, by the way, also on the ACC docket. We'll touch on the schedule and hoops coming up as well. All right, let's go to women's basketball because we've got three names here that I think are this is a great job by our staff to kind of look and see how the three different impacts that are on this list in women's basketball. Let's start with the ACC Player of the Year, one of the best players in America, Dana Evans of Louisville, Pac.
Yep. By the way, we're going to have Jeff Waltz coming up here in about half an hour or so, and he'll be the first one to tell you It starts with Dana now. Great leadership. We've had her on the show multiple times. She is a joy to talk to. Loves the game. Loves to play. It's really kind of a historian of the game. She really studies how to play the game. And, man, can she dish it? She can score. It's exactly what you want for a championship run, to have somebody in that backcourt with the ball, can score, assist, leadership. She is the total package in women's basketball.
Well, Louisville was the runner-up in 2013 to the Women's National Championship. Dana Evans, if Louisville's to make a run this year, and certainly the Cards are off to a great start, Dana Evans is going to be a big part of that for Coach Walls and his club. She was last year's Player of the Year. Another one to watch in 21 in women's basketball is last year's Freshman of the Year. Elizabeth Kitley, who plays for Kenny Brooks at Virginia Tech, is an ACC legacy. Her dad played basketball at Wake Forest. She's off to a great start in her career, and so is Virginia Tech behind her leadership.
Must be some going up in the water in Blacksburg, right? I mean, we talked about Coach Young's guys rocking and rolling, and Coach Brooks has the ladies playing great basketball too, and it starts with Kitley inside. And like you said, Wes, she can make all the plays. She is a matchup problem for everybody in the league, and it's going to be one of the reasons the Hokies are going to be one of those teams that can join Louisville and NC State and Syracuse in the top 25 right now. Keep an eye on Virginia Tech. They are making serious inroads in hoops.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of what Kenny Brooks has done. I like the philosophy of that program. He's really settled in. And Elizabeth, number two in the conference in scoring as we turn the calendar. The last of the women's basketball focus actually is a coach because – Neil Ivey has inherited the chair of a Hall of Famer. She comes back to her alma mater as the head coach to replace Muffet McGraw. And number one, nobody respects that position. Nobody respects the history and tradition of Notre Dame women's basketball, maybe more than Neil does. And now she's somebody to watch because there is the idea of carrying on here, Pac, and that's important.
I'm going to give a shout out to my agent, Craig Fennick, who is a Notre Dame alum, and he is an absolute lunatic. He watches every Notre Dame women's basketball game. He could give you every stat and every conversation I have with him. He doesn't start with football. He starts with women's basketball, and he is obsessed with it. And he told me, Pac, Ivy's going to be awesome. And before anything was even announced, he was all over this thing. So Notre Dame women's basketball needs to kind of get back. Again, I got off to a tough start. Last year was weird, goofy. Of course, now Muffet. We've got Muffet now on our network, which is great, and she's brilliant. But I expect Notre Dame women's basketball to be back in due time. It may take a while to kind of get back, restock, and from a talent perspective, but they will be a talking point. We talked about the big three right now in the league with Louisville, NC State, Syracuse. We just mentioned Virginia Tech. Clemson's gotten off to a good start. So is Georgia Tech. There are others that are ready to jump in that top 25 mix. It will be just a matter of time till Notre Dame is back.
Make no mistake, we also, in order to create this 21, we had to narrow the line in certain areas. We could have expanded this in basketball. Wes Moore on this list? Sure. Alisa Cunane on this list? Sure. Very possible. You start thinking on the men's side. Kevin Keats on this list? Sure, absolutely. You know, a player like Carlick Jones, absolutely. Sure, could have been on this list. But in order to create the 21, you can't have an expansion in certain areas because you only got 21 of these. Just saying.
Was that Wes math that you just gave us? Was that hey, my universe is 21? Were you trying to go there with us a second? Because that felt like a little – Wes math right there.
It did. It was. Just trying to let you know, we've only got 21 slots here, so we can't be expanding out everything. So I know some people say, well, wait a second, they only had three guys on the men's side and they had three on the women's side. Wow, they got to have more than that. We're only allowed 21.
That's it.
Right?
That's all we got, 21 and 21.
That's all we got.
You know, maybe, hey, maybe if we're still in the air, knock on wood, if that's possible, 4 years from now, we'll do 25 and 25, and we'll add a couple extras. But right now, 21's our number. That's our number.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
21 to watch in 21.
Mm-hmm.
We now go away from football and away from basketball, other sports and sports figures of note. And we're going to start with softball, Wes, and a program that literally just got started and already made some serious waves. And I can vouch for the locals down there that can't get enough of it. And that's the Clemson softball team. Coach John Rittman, taking care of business. People are excited, man. They're stoked.
Well, and you know what, Pac? They were 19-8 and 5-1 before the season got bagged, right?
Yep.
I mean, they won their first game. We were thinking, oh, hey, they won their first game. Look at the crowd.
I was going to say, look at the crowd. People were fired up. I mean, it was just this was like the cool thing to go check out was Clemson softball, and the facility's brand new, the program's brand new. You know, it's hey, grab a ticket. Come on down. Have some fun. So, again, I just hope we can kind of get back to normal in the spring and the summer and see some of these sports. But it's a feel-good story. It's a cool story. So keep an eye on it. Clemson softball.
Yeah. I really impressed with Coach Rittman and his approach to get there a couple of years ahead, build the program, recruit, you know, be a part of that stadium construction down where you used to hit wedge shots.
Six irons down the third base line. And I mean beaver tail divots too. Those foot long and right down the third base line. So the grounds crew's obviously done a great job getting all that straightened up.
Let's transition to wrestling. Friday Night Duels was a fun topic on this program last winter.
Loved it.
Friday Night Duels, right? And it was a staple of what we had on ACC Network. And one of the best in the ACC, if not one of the greatest wrestlers in ACC wrestling history, is Hayden Heidley of NC State, right? I mean, talk about somebody going to get it every week. He's trying to become the first four-time All-America in NC State history.
How about that?
Stop. That's crazy.
Wrestling gets started this weekend, which is great. I loved it. You know, we debuted the whole Friday Night Duels here on ACC Network, and I remember the first Friday night I put my feet up after the radio show, sitting upstairs and turned it on. I was like, man, we have got to start talking about this. Man, people were into it. Coaches were great and great personalities, but it's a bad man right here now. H squared will put a hurting on you, guarantee you. He's a bad man.
23-0 all time in the ACC.
Yep. No joke.
No joke.
Mm-hmm.
Also on this list, you know who else is no joke? Aaron Mattson of North Carolina. Field hockey. Just saying. I mean, you look at it any way you want to right here, folks. 66 goals, 41 assists, two-time national champion. Only a junior. I mean, it's remarkable what she's done.
Well, the whole program is remarkable, but you're talking about, you know, arguably the greatest of all time right here. And, you know, when we had her on the show, personable, funny, great conversationalist, and just loves to play. And, you know, it's funny how the greats, regardless of the sport, the game kind of just comes to them. It just comes to Aaron Mattson. I mean, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the moment. She's going to take care of business. She is awesome.
Yeah.
She is really something.
Great fun to watch. Great fun to have on the program. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Mattson's an easy addition to the 21 to watch in 21. Okay. Also from field hockey, this is more of a collaborative thing. The University of Louisville's field hockey program and Justine Sowery, who's their head coach, she's done a marvelous job there. In fact, they snapped North Carolina's long losing streak or long winning streak during the regular season at 47, then came back to face the Tar Heels again in really a great field hockey championship. And whatever materializes in the spring from a national perspective, I don't think it's beyond reach that those two would see each other a third time, Pac.
Could very well happen. And for Coach, again, the most unique Kentucky accent I've ever heard. We gave her a hard time about that when she was on the show, but she is building a great program. And again, field hockey in this league is no—it's the real deal now. I mean, we keep talking about how great soccer is on the men's and the women's side, and it is. But field hockey, North Carolina and Louisville will get after it. And there's others, too. But she's great. We love Coach. She's a riot.
The most unique Kentucky accent, YPAC.
Well, she's not from Kentucky. She's from down
That's
under.
That's correct.
She's from down under. Yeah. So, and I'm not talking about Alabama. No, I'm talking about from down under in Australia. So when Coach was on, she was great. She was a riot. And terrific coach, obviously.
Come on, man. Unbelievable. All right, we've got four more left here, so to speak, before we get to the top of the hour. Next stop, we're putting this young man on the list, even though, as you'll see, he's still not quite sure who we are.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about Valentin first, though. Because this guy at Pitt, again, we keep bragging about how great the soccer is in this league, men's and women's. This dude's unstoppable. I mean, this guy, hey, he was going to score, and it didn't matter, and there was nothing you could do about it. But Valentin Noel was just awesome. Again, this I can't emphasize, when you go to the final rankings and the top four teams in the country are all from your same league, good night. But this guy right here is a special player. And Wes, we had the ability to have him on the program. And again, he's got he's got the most unique Pittsburgh accent I've ever heard because he's from France. And so, again, always having some fun with the student athletes, we decided to have him give us a little promo. And it didn't quite go off well, but it turned out to be hilarious when he decided to give us the promo. So if you want to set that up, we can.
Here it is.
End this interview giving us a promo by saying you're watching Packer and Durham in French.
Oh, vous êtes en train de regarder. Oh, what is the name?
Packer and Durham.
Vous êtes en train de regarder Packer and Durham.
What is the name? Who are you guys? Why am I wasting time with you? But man, he's great to watch though. And that was funny. He was great.
Do you think if we called and asked, does he want to be on Packer and Durham, we'd have to go back to square one on explanation?
Yes. Si.
Yeah, I do too.
Oui.
Yeah. Si. Oui.
Does your dog bite?
By the way, the national championship is in May in Cary and just outside of Raleigh. And Valentin Noel, who had 8 goals in 7 ACC matches, took Pitt to the undefeated regular season. Whatever materializes in the NCAA from a national perspective, it'll be fun to watch for sure.
That Clemson Pitt ACC men's final was unbelievable. Same thing with the women with Florida State, North Carolina. I mean, yeah, it's number one against number two in the country for the ACC title. I mean, that's how good soccer is in this league. Unbelievable.
Three more left here. Women's golf. We weren't going to leave out Rachel Keene. She's one of our favorites.
Yep.
And she gave Pack some swag.
That's it. Better believe it. The star right here.
Yep. Like,
she's a star.
Won the women's amateur as a freshman. I don't know. I don't know where you go from here, but I'm excited to have her on this list. I can tell you that.
Yeah, she hooked us up with the 2-on-2 at Pinehurst number 2 with one of the medallions you get. And she said she won so many of them. She had a couple left over. And we said, man, it looked good in the basement. And so sure enough, she was kind enough to send us the 2-on-2 in Pinehurst. And it sits right here as a good luck charm. So in case Rachel's watching, I know her family in Nashville lives right down the street from my sister, who, by the way, is trying to get the Katie George wedding ceremony deal done. We got that worked out yesterday, I think. But so if Rachel and her family are watching, we keep the good luck medallion literally right here in front of me on every show. I touch it. It's kind of like Coward's Rock. I touch it before every show for good luck. So there you go. Rachel's on our list.
And if anybody else tries to touch the medallion?
No, nobody touches it. My wife says, go down the basement with the dogs. Nobody comes down here. You used to come here. Years ago, you used to come down here. Sometimes Luganville would show up between the French doors. We've had the Demon Deacon show.
Years ago.
I'm just down here by my lonesome with the dogs now. It's just me and the dogs. That's just the way I'm going to live the rest of my life. quarantine.
All right, two more left. One stop in lacrosse, and it's at Syracuse. And you talk about John Desko, who visited with us last year, right after we came back, and we were talking about how all this was setting up and things of that nature. They were 5-0 before being shut down by the coronavirus, looking for the first national title since 2009. Can they come back and restart in 21 with that same success?
Yes.
That's why they're on the list.
The answer is yes, they can. Syracuse lacrosse, you kidding me? You ask John, you ask Coach, you can ask Josh Macri, you ask any Syracuse fan, can you come back as the number one team in lacrosse? The answer is yes, you can. No doubt. I mean, you're talking about lineage and legacy and history and tradition. Syracuse lacrosse, please.
Yeah.
I still can't imagine Jim Brown playing lacrosse. Can't imagine.
Dude, he would have been he's a bad man playing lacrosse.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad man.
Wouldn't have been fair.
We're 20 in. We got one left.
Go for it.
Jim Phillips is 21 on the list to watch in 21. The new commissioner of the ACC, who takes over in just over a month, comes from Northwestern as the athletics director. Undergrad at Illinois Champaign, has worked at Notre Dame and Tennessee and Arizona State, has ties to the ACC with colleagues in the industry, and is going to assume a chair that's been occupied by the same guy for 24 years and becomes just the fifth commissioner in better than 60 years of ACC.
Two things. Number one, if we're up to me, Jim Phillips would be ranked number one. I hope he understands that. Number two, he's leaving Northwestern with their men's basketball, women's basketball, and their football program all ranked in the top 25. I can't emphasize enough. He's so well-respected. And, man, is he leaving their program in unbelievable shape. So we look forward to having Jim in the ACC beginning in February. So, again, I think he'll be a great addition. I thought it was a great hire.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.